listening to The Tesla Frequency, a space drama in 963 parts. Episode 2.
In the last show, we heard how local resident, scientist, and astronaut Thomas Branly had disappeared from the Tesla module of the Outer National Space Station. In his place aboard the spacecraft, we made contact with a confused, amnesiac dingbat named Corelli, who could only recall starting a drinking game in Sussex before waking up in a posh tin can 200 miles above the Earth. To get an update, we'll be hearing from all of those affected by this murky mix-up. Firstly, let's go over to Milan and speak with Kwasniar Shmov, Cyborgic Director of Operations at the Outer National Space Agency. Kwasniar, any news for us?
Yo, what's up, Control? As of yet, we have no more information on the whereabouts of Flight Engineer Thomas Branly, one of the AST technicians.
A technician from the Astronautical Space Station.
Yes, correct. He is decoding some audio recordings Flight Engineer Branly made before his disappearance.
And what do you expect to find?
Well, hopefully some clues that tell us about his disappearance. Perhaps some research notes on his recent findings, observations, and breakdowns of the data from his signal detection work.
And what signals would those be?
Excuse me?
The signals Branly is monitoring. Where are they from?
Well, from satellites, the AST, the base station. Also, the module can be used to follow global sea traffic, as well as nebula, star clusters, supernova, and the movement of interstellar clouds in distant galaxies.
That whole outer space ding-dong.
Of course.
Are you any clearer on the events that led up to Branly's disappearance and how that doofus Corelli ended up on board?
Our chief psychologist, Duka Popovskaya, is currently on the Tesla module conducting an initial assessment of the cretin. At present, we have very little information about Corelli. Your British intelligence services are
fairly stupid, basically inept.
No, they are
wretchedly incompetent, catastrophically too bob-bit.
They are having trouble confirming his identity.
As if the whole thing has been made up.
What are you saying? We will be in contact when the audio recording is decoded.
And are we going to speak to Elettra Securiali, head of the Outer National Space Agency?
I'm afraid not.
Don't be afraid.
She is recovering from an elbow injury she sustained playing on her Asteroids game console.
Right.
Also, she confessed that she found her last contact with your radio show to be an entirely unpleasant experience. She whispered this in my ear after one of our intimate moments together.
Intimate? So, you and Elettra are...
Every day. All the way. All the time.
So, even though you are a cyborg, an amalgam of the robotic and the human, you've...
Got all the right bits in all the right places. Correct. Gotta go, Control. I'm out like Elton John. Peace, my wigger. Ciao.
Half cyborg, half Kulmo-D. That was Kwasniar Shmov from the Outer National Space Agency. Now in search for the answers to the mystery of Flight Engineer Thomas Branly's disappearance, where better to head than the scene of the crime? We've been granted exclusive access to the microphones aboard the Tesla module, so let's listen in on Duka Popovskaya and the stowaway Corelli.
What was I doing out there? I saw my own body floating alongside the module.
Three bodies floating in space, Hiroshi. What does this mean?
Am I out there? Or in here?
Ну ладно, you could be both out there and in here. But that normally only happens at a super microcosmical quantum level.
What are you saying?
You are not small enough to appear in dvi places at once.
Yeah! I'm all killer, no filler, sweetheart.
The odd thing is that the bodies appear to have calcified. They've turned silver white. I don't believe that this could have occurred naturally in space. They must have been put there. But who would do this?
Where are the bodies? I can't see them out of the window anymore.
They are above us, orbiting at a different velocity. We will see them again. Who were those other people, the other two bodies with you?
I remember, I think. I'm not sure.
You said one of them was called Shelley.
Shelley?
Who is she?
A dream of a whisper on a sunbeam's fragrant kiss. Or something like that. Why all the questions? Put down your hammer and leave me alone, Miss Sickle.
Corelli, I need to ask you some questions as part of my assessment.
As part of your ass what?
Psychological assessment. Schematic 3. Subsection HB. Calf axis.
State your name.
Corelli.
Your full name.
Corelli. Plain and simple, like mashed potato and dumplings.
Tell me, how you got aboard the Tesla module?
Sheila's party, peace haven, drinking game, woke up here on the hunt for some tang.
Some tang?
Some gloopy Judy, honeypot, some Mindy, flange, chasm, hot pocket, knicker sauce, single finger glove, furry cup.
What is this gloopy honey, some sauce, knickers, pocket, furry cup, baby?
You know, some dent, a sweet smell of the valley, Venetian slice, bearded oyster, the greased crevice, panty hamster, an empty hot dog bun, a juicy bump, sugared almond, funny cunny, some hot panting, poon-tanting, funny buff bunny.
You mean you like the woman?
All the woman.
Aye, don't we all? I dream of a woman with fists like flying mallets and hair like hay bales floating down the river. Yaikisnovskaya in Poloskovskaya. Oy, хорошкале! Now, tell me about your mother.
Unfortunately, this radio show is kind of unfair.
Apparently, the Astronautical Space Station have decrypted the first of Thomas Branly's recordings. Kwezhna Shmov, cyborgic director of operations at the International Space Agency in Milan, has got the scoop. Kwezhna.
Yes, we have a partially reconstructed version of a recording made by Thomas Branly at some point over the last month. This work was completed by flight technician Carl Braun. He is on board the space station. I can connect you to him.
If you could be so kind.
Vamos, humans. Let's rock this. Let's turn it out. It's go time, you mother humpers.
And the laddie bade his queen farewell and said, Sona's gonna have to teach the girl the offside rule.
Connection to the Astronautical Space Station. Active.
Flight Technician Braun.
Ah, yes, hello, planet Earth.
Hello, outer space. Can you tell me what you have discovered?
Yes, it appears that flight engineer Branly regularly dictated his research notes and was recording right up to the day of his disappearance. The files are stored locally, so I've had to break his network protocols to retrieve the data. It's early days yet, but I've got a wee passage to play. Hang on. Oh, hang on a minute. Here, let me play for you now.
Flight engineer Thomas Branly aboard the Tesla signal detection module. Log entry number 2. I believe I have made a significant find south of Cepheus, somewhere near M52 in Cassiopeia. In my research, I have stumbled upon something remarkable. A phenomenon I will refer to henceforth as the Tesla frequencies. A quivering emission from the dark bowers of the sky's building.
Bob. Man, I'm still rebuilding some of these early recordings. They're a bit early stockhousing at the moment. All the fidelity of Silvio Berlusconi.
Thomas Edison. Himself. A test phonograph recording from 1877. One of the first recordings of man's voice. Drifting through time and space.
That's all we got for the moment. detected some radio wave transmissions from light years away. They got some incredibly powerful gear on the Tesla model. Like a 4x4 on a gorilla's back spitting spanners.
Indeed. Flight Technician Braun, thank you for your time.
I don't mention it, you can't.
I already did. Now, Flight Engineer Thomas Branley didn't just leave behind the Tesla module when he disappeared to heaven knows where. He also left behind his wife. We'll be listening in on Mina Branley's plea for information in our press conference shortly.
Unfortunately, this radio show is currently off air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wife of the missing astronaut, Mrs. Mina Branley, will issue a brief statement.
If any body, being or life form listening to this has seen my lovely little Tommy, please send him straight home to me. I miss him so much. The bed is so cold without the heat of his love there to keep me warm. In my imagination, we danced from the Cepheus constellation across the purple forbidden enclosure to the black tortoise of the north. And whilst soaring through the fireworks gallery, his light explodes in refulgent glory out into Cassiopeia and its white tiger of the west.
Are there any questions?
Okay, everybody, thanks for your time.
Clear as mud. Let's check in on the Tesla module and the continuing psychological assessment of Corelli.
Psychological assessment. Schematic 4. Subsection 2D. Cathexis.
Tell me about Shelley.
Deep in the West End. I used to buy my shoes there. Brown brogues and scarlet winkle pickers.
Are you avoiding the question out of fear?
It's time to wake up to an understanding that fear is not a requirement of life, my dear. Only death lasts forever. And seeking foreverness in any aspect of life is, in actual fact, a seeking out of death through fear.
Mr. Corelli, you are not making sense now.
In life, all things are possible, but none of it conclusively or exclusively so. Death, on the other hand, offers only eternity, exclusively and conclusively.
Хороше, хороше, yes, but my dear friend, you have to understand, I am now doing here my assessment, and you need to answer some simple questions. Who is Shelley?
Death and eternity, eternity and death. Who could possibly desire that such a morbid shadow be cast over life?
I don't know. Maybe you tell me?
Fear. Fear desires death because death kills inconstancy. Death and fear are as entwined as lovers in their mutual loathing of inconstancy's capriciousness. Except, of course, that neither death nor fear have any capacity or need for love at all.
Mr. Corelli, please. Pull your trousers up and get down off the table!
Death needs love like a moose needs a hat rack for eternity's sake. And fear? Well, let's just say that one should never confuse fear for love or love for fear in any sphere or rhomboid crush of terror. Only life offers love, and life is brutally finite and wildly inconstant by nature. Now is the only reality, Pavska. You and me, here and now. Get your kit off, baby. It's time to get filthy like dark matter.
Get off me, Corelli! You've gone mad!
Come here, Pavska!
Stop!
The cupboard is bare. The pantry is ship-shape and Bristol fashion. Your equipment is dry.
Blimey! Dusovskaya! Look, Corelli! The three baddies! They're coming around again.
black steel in the hour of chaos.
Three calcified bodies floating alongside us. Where did they come from?
What? It's the chief. That's the chief.
Who is the chief?
He was my boss at the department.
What is this department?
Corelli! You total nonce! I told you it wouldn't work. This isn't over.
It must have been him. You said his name before, that body. That was the chief. His body is frozen, but he can still contact you. Klasna! You must speak to him the next time he flies by. Corelli?
So parallelo las vers runs alongside ours.
Corelli? What are you saying? Corelli?
Psychological assessment schematics complete. Result, totally bonkers. Level 4. Condition 3Z. Subject's mind is possibly infected.
Spasiba. What do you think is the reason for the infection? Please release report.
Radio wave transmissions first identified by flight engineer Thomas Brandley.
Will Corelli's smackdown leave him with more than a bump on the head? Will Thomas Brandley's audio logs give us clues about the reasons for his disappearance? Is the Queen bald? Is Thomas Edison floating in space? Why is sherbet so expensive? Tune in next time to not find out in episode 3 of The Tesla Frequencies.
You have been listening to The Tesla Frequencies, episode 2. The performers were Suzanne Armand, Paul Ducknell, Yao Caravan, Lewis Reed, Matt Rutkin, and Simon Wilkinson. This episode was written by Paul Ducknell and Simon Wilkinson and has been a Buggin' Fudgy production. It originally aired as part of the radio show and podcast, currently off air. All episodes of the Tesla Frequencies and currently off air can be listened to and downloaded from currentlyoffair.com.